It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Hello? What? Hello? Well, here I am. I don't get a monitor today, but hello. let's see if I can get my monitor turned on. There we go. So sorry about that. Welcome. It is a day. It's Wednesday, February 17th, 2021, and it is 1901 UTC. So it's time for news for me. Or news to me. So hello, hello to all my friends in Calm and everyone out there. Shout out to Northern Lights, Tobe, Ratsu, and X1. Just an update. I'm still battery powered. So we have natural gas. So I run the stove top quite a bit. But due to CO, carbon monoxide warnings or concerns, I don't run it all the time, and I throw open the windows every so often, so all that should be good. Water's still running. Basically, on the stove, I have two pots. I have hot drinking water and hot cleaning water, so those guys are hanging out, and nice thermal mass, too. And what else? Oh, and then I go to the car, and the car... The tires are flat because it's too cold, I guess. But I run the car and charge up the battery pack in the phones and then come inside. But I guess I'm using the radios too intensely because the battery drains really quickly. So I can't even listen to the radio all day. But anyway. Yeah. Anyway, such is life. It's an adventure. But. I just want to thank everybody for tuning in and putting up with the hodgepodge of a show. So let's go ahead here and start the show the way we always do.
World news.
That's right. Let's see if I can turn that up. There we go.
World news.
Nope. Oh well. Let's get going. First up, coming to us from Nigeria, gunmen attacked a school in Nigeria's north central Niger state after midnight Wednesday, killing at least one student and abducting more than 40 people, including students and teachers, the state's governor's spokeswoman said on Wednesday. The gunmen, thought to be bandits, shot dead one student during the incident early Wednesday at the Government Science College, Kagara, in Niger State. Local reports said about 26 students and 16 staff and family members were abducted, while authorities were trying to get exact numbers. The gunman chased the students across the school and shot one of them in the head as he tried to escape. They attacked the first two hostels, or in parentheses, by the wall. They entered the house and chased students who tried to escape. They followed a shooting and in the process shot one of us in the head. A teacher at the school said the gunman entered the school premises about 1:30 a.m., dressed in military camouflage, and forced him to lead them to the students' sleeping quarters, where he and some students were tied up in pairs. They put me in front to lead them to the school. They told the students not to worry, that they were soldiers, he said, adding that some wore camouflage army uniforms and one wore a black coat. They gathered all the students outside, but some ran into the bush. I was thinking I would not be able to escape, but lucky enough, Allah gave me a way to escape from them, and I assisted the students that were tied together. I ran the football field, and they started shooting. So, very scary times there. Let's see if we go down to the end of the story, if there's any output. Such attacks have raised concerns about rising violence by Islamist insurgents. The monitor is speech jamming me, and it's funny. sorry. Violence and insecurity have compounded the economic challenges faced by citizens in Africa's most populous country, which is struggling to cope with the fall in revenues due to an oil price slump on top of COVID-19. So, pretty rough times in there in Nigeria. I hope they get those kids back. You remember we talked about this less than 6 months ago. There was another big kidnapping event, and it was done by bandits. So it seems to be something. It happens more often there than you'd think. Now, if we go to India, India's ex-minister loses high-profile hashtag MeToo defamation case. A former minister in Prime Minister Narendra Modi's cabinet has lost a defamation suit he filed against journalist Priya Ramani, who had accused him of sexual harassment in the most high-profile case in India's Me Too movement, according to her lawyer. In 2018, Ramani became the first of a string of women to go public with allegations against Mubasher Jawed Akbar, a former high-profile newspaper editor who went on to become India's deputy foreign prime minister, or excuse me, foreign minister, in 2016. Hey, my screens went black. No going black. No going dark screens. all right. Speaking to local media after the verdict, Ramani said she was vindicated on behalf of all the women who have ever spoken out against sexual harassment in the workplace. She was inspired by the Me Too movement against sexual assault that sprang up in the U.S. and spread worldwide following accusations against Hollywood movie mogul Harvey Weinstein in 2017. Ramani wrote an article about the inappropriate behavior of an unnamed editor the same year, and 1 year later alleged it was Akbar. She said she was 23 when Akbar called her to a Mumbai hotel for a job interview more than 20 years ago. "You know how to pinch, pat, rub, grab, and assault," she wrote. Akbar called the allegations baseless. Soon after, he stepped down as... since it's on my phone, I don't have an ad blocker. And a full screen ad has popped up. Just a moment. There we go. Soon after, he stepped down as junior foreign minister and sued Ramani for defamation, saying her accusations had caused irreparable damage to his reputation and goodwill. Ramani's lawyer, Rebecca John, told AFP after Wednesday's judgment that it was an incredibly gratifying moment. So that is good news. I wanted something a little positive in the world, a little warmth. You know what I mean? All right. So let's talk about advertisements and ads, because that's something people get excited about. Not really. It's something that I think is important, but not a lot of people talk about because it is kind of boring. So, thanks, Northern Lights. Since I'm without heat at home, getting sent hot water bottles is great. One of my friends, actually a couple that I know, that's how they're staying warm, is they heat some water on the stove and then they fill up a hot water bottle. And then him, their partner, and their two cats go get under the blankets on the bed. All right. So News Corp has signed a news deal with Google. News Corp struck a global news deal with Alphabet Inc.'s Google, the Rupert Murdoch-controlled media company said on Wednesday, in one of the most extensive deals of its kind with big tech. The companies will develop a subscription platform, share advertising revenue through Google's ad technology services, build out audio journalism, and develop video journalism by YouTube. The deal comes after years of public feuding between Murdoch and Google, most recently in Australia, where Google has threatened to shut down its search engine to avoid unworkable content loss. It's a capstone for the 89-year-old media mogul, his son Lachlan, and News Corp chief executive Robert Thompson to seek compensation for premium content from platforms. Murdoch previously secured payments from Apple Inc. and Facebook Inc. for their Apple News and Facebook News products. The company declined to comment on financial details of the deal, which it said involved significant payments by Google. In Australia, the country's two largest free-to-air television broadcasters have struck deals with Google collectively worth $60 million Australian dollars, or $47 million U.S. The Australian deal comes days before the government plans to pass laws that would allow it to appoint an arbitrator to set Google's content fees if it can't strike a deal privately, a factor that government and media figures held up as a turning point for negotiations. So pretty cool there. Where even though I don't like Rupert Murdoch or News Corp, it's good that, somebody made Google do something, because for a while it seemed like Google was just impenetrable. It was just impervious to any assault. Sorry, I'm checking com. Yeah, everything seems okay. Everything's beautiful. Nothing bad here. All right. Sorry about the noise. All right. Well, we got more new. We have more news stories. Don't worry. And here's the other ad one. Mobile ad companies form alliance to prepare for Apple privacy changes. Oh yeah. Online advertising. Six mobile advertising companies said Wednesday they have formed a partnership to help marketers and app developers adjust to upcoming Apple changes that will affect how advertising works on iPhones. Apple will soon begin to prompt iPhone users to allow apps to use their data for personalized advertising, a move that's drawn backlash from tech rival Facebook, which we talked about yesterday because they're crying. They're going to lose billions of dollars. The post IDFA, that's India Delta Foxtrot Alpha, the post IDFA Alliance, will provide tips and best practices to help advertisers and developers ensure ads are placed in front of relevant customers and the effectiveness of those ads can still be measured after the Apple changes are rolled out, said Mark Ellis, chief executive of a mobile marketing company, Liftoff, which is part of the Alliance. That will include videos, webinars, and other materials on topics such as understanding what data can be used in an Apple-friendly manner. New partnership includes Fiber, Chartboost, Singular, InMobi, and Vungle, which are companies that specialize in mobile advertising. So yeah, pretty... it's not exciting until you realize all the impacts. So very cool. Or that's not cool. Keeping up with mobile advertising is cool. All right. Well, what else is happening? Well, COVID's still a thing. if you weren't paying attention, you might have forgotten. Well, at least in Texas, you could easily forget because there's no power and it seems like it's another emergency. But yeah, COVID's still killing lots of people in town. And Pfizer has some bad news. Pfizer is not yet delivered to the European Union about 10 million COVID-19 doses that were due in December, EU officials said, leaving it about one-third short of the supplies that it expected by now. The delay is another blow to the EU, which has also been hit by delays in deliveries from Anglo-Swedish drug maker AstraZeneca and U.S. company Moderna, and it also faced earlier delays on the Pfizer vaccine. It also raises questions about the rationale of an EU vaccine export control scheme, which was set up in late January to ensure timely deliveries, but has not yet been activated, despite the supply shortfalls. By the middle of last week, Pfizer had delivered to the EU 23 million doses of the COVID-19 vaccine it developed, said an EU official who is directly involved in talks with the U.S. company. That was about 10 million doses less than Pfizer had promised to supply by mid-February, said a second official who's also involved in the talks. Pfizer declined to comment, saying schedules of its deliveries were confidential. The Executive European Commission did not respond to a request for comment on delivery shortfalls. So, It's very unfortunate. We can see here, let's see, before the monitoring scheme was set up, the bloc had already exported millions of vaccines to Israel, Britain, and Canada, among others, mostly Pfizer's, according to customs data cited in an EU document. Israel has injected the first vaccine dose to more than 75% of its population. The figure for the UAE is around 50%, and Britain is above 20%. EU countries, on average, have vaccinated only about 5% of their populations. Countries with a high number of inoculations are already vaccinating people who are not among the most vulnerable, while those most in need elsewhere have not yet had a shot. The World Health Organization set the target of inoculating 20% of poor countries' population by the end of the year. And just so you know, in Texas, we're still woefully under-vaccinated. Also, the volume of people that are in Group 1A far exceed the supply of vaccines in the state. And so, yeah, it's still a thing. It's still a thing. It's still something to be worried about. But such is life, right? Yeah, so that's the world news. Oh, my screens have started sleeping. Washington. Yeah, it's pretty lame. Washington is in, or sorry. Yeah, Texas is in bad shape. We'll see what happens. Whenever I wake the screen up, I have to pick the phone up, and then it goes. Anyway, hey, we're at 17 minutes past the hour. And this is the time when we'd normally play a song.
Get the news over with. I want
to
hear the music.
I know. I'd love to play music, but I don't have a music to play for you. So, sorry about that. But I do want to be sure and let you know.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Thank you very much, Anon Radio, for all your support. And big shout out to Calm. You guys rule. Thanks so much. Okay, I will work on pumping up the volume for the sound effects. Let's see if I can do that. Okay. All right, here comes a test.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
All right, Calm. Is that any better? Okay. I will. Okay. Thank you very much. All right. We'll make it through this. Hopefully. Allegedly, maybe we'll have power tomorrow. If not tomorrow, eventually, I guess. If we don't have power by Friday, I'm going to order solar panels and just hook up the house. So anyway. All right, let's do some domestic news real quick. First, we got some. Oh, shucks. Where's my tech news sound? Boop. Let's see if I can grab it. Radio. Oh, there it was. Radio. Oh, I don't have it on my Dropbox. That's the problem. No Dropbox. Anyway. It's time for some tech news. Spy pixels in emails have become endemic. What does that mean? Endemic usually means it's like something that's so it's not a good thing, but it's just so pervasive that it's just kind of like, oh, wow, I have a really pretty big red-breasted robin by my window. Anyway, The use of invisible tracking tech in emails is now endemic, according to a messaging service that analyzed its traffic at BBC's request. Hayes' review indicated that 2/3 of emails sent to its users' personal accounts contained a spy pixel, even after excluding spam. Its makers said that many of the largest brands used email pixels, with the exception of the big tech firms. Defenders of the trackers say they are a commonplace marketing tactic, and several of the companies involved noted their use of such tech was mentioned within their wider privacy policies. Email pixels can be used to log if and when an email is opened, how many times it's opened, what device or devices are involved, the user's rough physical location deduced through IP. This information can be used to determine the impact of a specific email campaign, as well as to feed into more detailed customer profiles. Hayes co-founder David Heinemeier Hansen says the amount to a grotesque invasion of privacy. And other experts have also questioned whether companies are being transparent as required under law about their use. This was something that was popular on websites for a while. So I don't know if it's still popular on websites, but it's interesting that it moved to email, and all another reason why you should turn off remote images in your email client. Okay. So let's see. Do they have any help for us? Basically, the only thing is if you're in the EU, use of tracking pixels is governed in the UK and other parts of Europe by 2003's Privacy and Electronic Communications Regulations and 2016's GDPR. So, let's see. Ugh. Yeah, raw chicken is a bad idea. Belgian sashimi. I want to learn more about that from Tobe later. Oh, by the way, don't forget, at 1930 UTC, every single day is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. And that means today, in just about 7.5 minutes, you can get a hold of the Dubious Goals Committee. And it's a lot of fun. Tobe's road got messed up, and now it's getting fixed. And there's synthesizers and all sorts of stuff. Lots of greasy messes to clean up. What other tech news do we got? Well, I got another story for you. Don't worry. There's so much news. Hackers. The United States has charged 3 North Korean computer programmers with a massive hacking spree that stole more than $1.3 billion, that's with a B, in money and cryptocurrency, affecting companies from banks to Hollywood movie studios, the Department of Justice said on Wednesday. The indictment alleges that John Chang Hyuk, 31, Kim Il, 27, and Park Jin Hyuk, 36, stole money while working for North Korea's military intelligence services. Park has previously been charged in a complaint unsealed in 2018. The Justice Department said the hackers are responsible for a wide range of criminal activity and high-profile cyber attacks, including a retaliatory November 2014 attack on Sony Pictures for producing The Interview, which depicted the assassination of North Korea's leader. It's also alleged they participated in the creation of the destructive WannaCry 2 ransomware, which hit Britain's National Health Service particularly hard when it was set loose in May 2017. Wow, they got blamed for everything. The indictment also pins the blame on the hackers for breaking into banks across South and Southeast Asia, Mexico, and Africa, by breaking into financial institutions' networks and abusing the SWIFT protocol and deploying malicious applications from March 2018 through September 2020, targeting cryptocurrency. Officials added that a Canadian-American citizen has also separately pleaded guilty to laundering some of the alleged hackers' money. The indictment was filed under seal on December 8, 2020, and unsealed in federal court in Los Angeles on Wednesday. Although the 3 alleged hackers work for the North Korean government, the United States alleges they have been stationed at times in various other countries, including China and Russia. So, pretty spooky. Don't piss off the U.S. government or its interests, apparently. Belgium is not a fig. Calm is so fun sometimes. Well, all the time, really. My grandmother, my father's mother, is from Belgium. She's from the French-speaking part of Belgium. But she married a GI during the World War, or after the World War, and moved to the States and had a bunch of kids. All right, what else do we got to talk about? Well, there's a few things. We got a few minutes. First off, Rush Limbaugh is dead. He is a fearmonger and hateful, hateful person. So I don't think the world is at a loss that he's gone, but he made it to 70. So goodbye. Hopefully they don't play your show on reruns. So anyway, just wanted a note there. And what else? Oh, I got one more story before I complain about the weather some more. And thanks for tuning in. Be sure you stick around after the Dubious Goals Committee, because it's not Tuesday, so I think there should be a show every day this week. All right. Amazon documents reveal company's secret strategy to dodge India's regulators. Now, this full story is on Reuters, but I just wanted to let you know the headline. Amazon favored big sellers on its India platform and used them to maneuver around rules meant to protect the country's small retailers from getting crushed by e-commerce giants, internal documents show. As one presentation urged, test the boundaries of what is allowed by law. So if that's not incriminating, I don't know what is. Pretty wild, right? All right, so here's a couple quick stories about Here's a couple quick stories that are about the ice storm, my current life. So first up from the AP, nearly 3.4 million utility customers around the U.S. were still without power Wednesday in the aftermath of a winter storm that overwhelmed power grids unprepared for climate change. And another blast of snow and ice threatened to impede the efforts to restore service. The latest storm front was expected to bring more hardship to parts of Texas, Arkansas, and the lower Mississippi Valley before moving to the Northeast. There's really no let-up to some of the misery people are feeling across the area, said Bob Orovec, lead forecaster with the National Weather Service. More than 100 million people live in areas covered by some type of winter weather warning, watch, or advisory. At least 24 people have died in the extreme weather this week, some while struggling to find warmth inside their home. In the Houston area, one family succumbed to carbon monoxide from car exhaust in their garage. Another perished as they used a fireplace to keep warm. Record low temperatures were reported in city after city. Blame the polar vortex, a weather pattern that usually keeps to the Arctic but is increasingly spilling into lower latitudes. Scientists say global warming caused by humans is partly responsible. So yeah, definitely sucks. And there's plenty more here if you want to read about it. I kind of ranted about this yesterday, but yeah, the ultimate problem is that our power generation stations are closed or down or not producing power, and the demand is sky high. So those two things don't mix, and the grid will collapse. You know, the big thing that was kind of neat is nuclear power stations are still running fine, and solar generation stations are running fine. So, I mean, we could just get some more of those, please. Also, if you follow the NRC, Nuclear Regulatory Commission, I think is what it stands for. But anyway, the NRC has a great... Oh, I guess that's all the time we got. That's what the timer's for. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
I think... 3, 2...